here. Praise the word goes out. You touch hearts, just transform hearts, Lord, to give us strength to walk through this world. And God, we trust in you, and we know you're doing a mighty powerful work, and we know that we are a light in a dark area, and we thank you for that, God. And I pray you just open each heart to receive from the word today. I pray you would just touch my heart, that speak only things of the Spirit, and Lord, that you'd be honored in all things. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, as I repeat myself each message, come here, we're going over 8 points of our legacy. And so this is point number 7 this morning. And again, it's, as you see, that's on the screen. And I have a note on, you know, here, it says it's our legacy. And each statement that we make of this, we can make it with a smile. All right, you don't have to fight about this. You can say, no, this is what we see the Lord doing. They agree, they disagree, but we stand on solid ground as we communicate and speak to those people around us. And so we thank God for what he's taught us. And our legacy, we have a doctrinal statement. A lot of churches have, every church should have a doctrinal statement. But the legacy is a little different. It's just kind of, no, these are things we focus on. With just like you have families, and they're different, you know, and they love Jesus, but they're different. Well, as a family, we're a little different. Something, these are things we focus on and walk with, and we feel like the Lord really uses it for us, you know, to communicate the gospel and to have strength, you know, as we face this dark world. All right. So on the overhead, you can see the 8 points we're covering. And so this morning is the second to the last point, number 7. And I repeat again, they're all interrelated. They're not isolated. They're interrelated. But so we're going to be looking at this. And again, when embracing these truths will enable us to dismantle, neuter, and defeat anything Satan throws at us. These messages redirect the conversation to Jesus. And this is really important. These messages, it redirects the conversation to Jesus. We don't get caught up in meaningless details, but redirects the conversation to Jesus, who holds the answers to the question for mankind. The only answer is in Jesus. So this morning, our legacy, number 7, male leadership exalts the woman. I mean, I was expecting to hear, ooh, ooh. You see. Now, if anything that we've gone over, you know, as we stand, this one, just by saying it, you know, can cause tension. You know, what are you doing? Where the world is coming from, and you know, even the church. But let's look at this, because it's powerful and something the Lord uses powerfully. And I'm going to say, it's just me, so it just could be totally wrong, I don't hear this subject preached this way. I'm going to say often, I don't at all. Now, I mean, I've been a Christian for years and in the church, and I've heard a lot of things on relationships. But personally, I think it's central to relationships, and I don't hear it preached that much. And I have a stinking feeling I know why. But let's just go through it. Let's look at this. Number 7, our legacy. Male leadership exalts the woman. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let's look at this. Christ died. What did Christ do? How did Christ love the church? Christ died that the church would be exalted. Now, let me have a note. What I mean exalted? Christ died, paid the penalty for our sins. We are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. We reign with him. We trust Christ, we're exalted. So I just put all that into one word. You know, Christ died that the church would be exalted. When the husband loves his wife like Christ loves the church, he likewise exalts the woman. All right? Now, I want you to really pay attention to the statements and how they're associated with the verse. And by the way, as I ad-lib for my notes, the section of Ephesians 5:25 down to 5:32, when you read that, the context is important, right? The context is the marriage relationship. That's what he's talking about. So that's what we want to tie this into. That's his point. All right. Now, so I'm going to read that again. So when the husband loves his wife like Christ loves the church, he likewise exalts the woman. Right? Christ didn't oppress the church, did he? He exalts the church. The husband exalts the woman. This is the sole argument for male leadership. That's it. This is the sole argument. Now, note, there's other things attached to male leadership. There's other things attached. But it's attached. This is the point. And you can't go to the others without this point. All right? Therefore, we proclaim before the world, we proclaim this truth. You believe in male leadership? I believe in male leadership that exalts the woman like Christ exalts the church. Well, how much more do you want to discuss the issue? Well, this is where it starts. Okay? Now, so what we have here in the world, and we put this in context, the world is attacking men, male leadership, and I hear the word, they're warring against male toxicity. Toxic male masculinity. They're warring against toxic masculinity. Now, I'm not sure what that is, but they're warring against it. I heard this on television. This wasn't just good. It's just like, no, you go, and I thought, it wasn't defined, but it was just kind of given to the male race, you know. So, we know the world is doing that. The people, you just watch any sitcom, you watch anything, and if men or women involved, they make fun of the men. How inept, how incapable. Kids make fun of the father on television. That's what you see. It's a real solid movement to do that. They don't make fun of the mother. Nor should they. But anyway, yeah, it's something you see. Now, the problem is, unfortunately, the church is following right behind. Church is not is to be a light, not to follow what the world is doing. God made men and women who in their differences reflect God. Masculinity, femininity. All right? Now, and here's, and if all of y'all know I watch too much television. And I tell you how irritated I get. You know, it'd just be better if I just stopped watching it. But, you know, but it's like you have all these things about, like, marriage and man-made, you know, marriage and why you do that. It's not important. But, I mean, you can say anything you want to. God is the creator of marriage. He's the creator of marriage. The husband and wife relationship. God created that, all right? So if you want to improve on the marriage, you need to go and see what God has to say about the marriage. You know, it's really clear it's God's creation. Now, biblically, in the family and in the church, God demands male leadership. It does. Now, you know, this is God demands male leadership that exalts the woman. All right? It's connected. He demands male leadership, but male leadership that exalts the woman. Now, here we have in Ephesians 5:25 clearly establishes the male's role in the family, which overflows to the church. Well, I'm single. You know, or kids, or whatever. You say, well, that's fine. But when the relationship of the husband loving his wife like Christ loved the church, that male leadership that exalts the woman permeate the body in which they function. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. It's just the way it is. See? Now, we see here the husband is to love. If this is true, you love husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. This means the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What pronoun does God use for church? You can't see my notes. What pronoun does God always use for the church? Feminine. Her. It's always a her. When Jesus talks about the church, he talks about a her. Her. So, Christ gave himself up for her. Her. Okay. Well, there's men and women, kids, I know, but he said her is a whole. It's her that he died for. It's her. Now, so when we look at this, looking to Christ, this means the husband is to self-sacrificially, love the wife. We doing good, ladies? Yeah? See, if you're going to love like Christ, that means you love her. That means, like Christ, you self-sacrificially love her. See? And that's, this is the parallel that this verse is drawing. This is the parallel, you know. And it is also, I think, an indication why a lot of pastors don't want to preach on it. I really do. Now, that's my opinion. You can take that or leave it, all right? And say, Wallace, you shouldn't have said that. Now, so what we have here is Christ went to the cross and died for the church. The husband should give his life for his wife. That's what it says. And Christ is the example. Christ is the example. As Christ died for us while we were still sinners to make atonement for us, the husband should love his wife without demanding anything in return. Why do you find that so humorous here, we got? I mean, how did Christ love the church? I will die for you if you behave. I will die for you if you will do this. That's not what he did. He died, it says in Romans, he died for us while we were yet sinners. Yet sinners. And he even goes on and says, sometimes a man will die for a friend, but Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And so it's example. What's the example? Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. This is worth repeating. I'm going to hear you laugh again. As Christ died for us while we were yet sinners to make atonement for us, the husband should love his wife without demanding anything in return. I will, if you will. Maybe if... That's not biblical. That's not Christian. That's not even true love. It's not even true love. That's performance-based achievement. And if you do good, I'll love you more. You say it's achievement. God said, no, it's not achievement. It's self-sacrificial love. He's going, what part of sacrificial you don't understand? You see what I'm saying? Okay, so it's like, oh my gosh. Now, so as we see this, we see that he says, the love Christ extends to the church. What pronoun is the church? Her. Okay. As this is the love Christ extends to the church, it represents the love a Christian man should show his wife. Now, what is that verse telling us? I mean, I've got two, three more pages to go. You know, I mean, we could almost just, okay, we're done. See, it's like, oh my gosh. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I am. It's a true story. As I came to know the Lord. I was a believer, accepted Christ, but I didn't go to a church or anything. So I didn't know there's a lot. No. Well, as you know, Linda and I were separated. We were separated for 2 years and stuff. And so she certainly wasn't filling up her bargain, right? I mean, come on, you know. And it's like she needs to get her act together. And I've told you that before. My prayer, you're talking about God answers prayer. Why did he answer prayer? My prayer was God change that woman. He didn't answer it. I mean, and hadn't answered it today. Okay. But that was my prayer. You know, like, oh, let's pray for your wife. All right. God. Now, but what happened is that I knew enough, you know, like, okay, the truth is in the Bible. And somehow I stumbled onto this verse. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I thought, well, all right. Now, well, what does that mean? And remember, she's not fulfilling her duties, you know. And I thought, well, God, what is that? Love her like Christ loved the church. That's a big step. Well, how does he love the church? So I looked it up. And it said, he died for her. I mean, but she can do nothing. He died. He died for her. And then I saw that verse. He died for us when we're sinners. But she, he said, there's no but she in this. You die for her no matter what. You expect nothing in return. And I mean, I have this talk, and you just got to imagine, this is before church. But I mean, before going to any church. And I'd go, like, God, this stinks. I mean, this is not a fair level playing field on this. You know, and they got to be something. So I look deeper and look, God, you know, what did you really do? And then you self-sacrificially. You know, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You ever read the Bible and say, it doesn't make sense? I want to tell you, when I read the Bible, I go, this does not make sense. It's not sense. But what I did, I thought, well, all right, you said it. All right, I'll do it. And so the best I could, I started doing it. You know, we hit in a tiff, you know, like that. We had still had the kids and was going back and forth. We'd get in a tiff and she'd say something that was totally off base. And I would go and God would go, hush. But God, who's ever going to correct this woman if I don't? You know, I mean, it's just like, okay, don't. Okay, you did be nice, but she's not nice. And by the way, she wasn't. I'm not making that up. She was not nice to me. Poor me, you know. And it's like, and so I would just okay, be nice back, be kind back. It doesn't make anything. It doesn't make anything. What she says, it's your to love her self-sacrificially, and she is not making it easy. She not. You ask her. She didn't. And so, as a result, over the time, just, I have to tell you, just so you know, when you struggle through something, I went through, I don't know, we're dropping off the kids or something, and I said, okay, I prepare myself. All right, God, walk me through this. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to say anything back. And at the door, I changed, and I don't know. She said, oh, gosh, she made me mad. I mean, it was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, okay, I hear what you're saying. I understand. I'll think about it. Not bad, right? I was burning mad. But I did. And I went back in the car, and I sat in the car. And I was like, oh. I said, oh, because I was hit and caved the whole dash of my car in. Caved it in. So I had a reminder forever. Yeah, I did that. And I looked at it, and my first thought, I said, okay, God, I got to the car. I didn't say anything. I got to the car. Now, voila, we got here. Hallelujah. And it's a whole long story. After we'd been married after we got back together. And we'd been together a couple of years or something. You know, we're kind of working through things. And she's giving her testimony about, you know, they call you up. You do this, the church. Hey, come up and tell everybody how wonderful this is, you know. So they call her up. She didn't want to come, but she agreed to come. And they says, what changed for you? And this came out of her mouth. She said, he showed me Christ-like love, and it was like a magnet. That's what she said. Now, I caved the front of the car in, but I mean, I got it. I got, like I said, I got to the car. She doesn't have to know everything. You know, I got to the car. But here, what I'm saying here, when it says this, Ephesians 5:25, it establishes a role for the man that works, even though you don't understand it. But what you do understand is that God is doing something. God is doing something, so we're obedient to God. And I saw over a period of time, whereas because of my attitude towards her, because of what God to her changed, then my behavior and other things started changing. So it was like God used her to change my attitude. I said, you know, I've always told God, you know, God, only way you don't just give me a pamphlet. Just a little, you know, a little gospel pamphlet. Listen, this is a little marriage pamphlet. Read it. But then, I don't know. Well, Linda has a comment on that, too. She says, I am so hard-headed that he has to do these other things. Thank you, darling. But anyway, but you see what's happening. But I see now where the Lord was using that to change my attitudes towards him, towards people, and the power of God, that I started walking more in confidence about what he said, even though I didn't understand. So I changed. What was one of the reasons why I said, God, bring back this woman, change that woman? Well, the reasons he couldn't do it, he had to change me first. If I don't change you, he'll just be the same circle. So he had to change me first. Guys, you're loving this, aren't you? All right. So what we have here, I lost my place. I'm going to make sure I don't skip anything. Okay. So again, what the verse is saying, and I just said, this is showing when it says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. The man's example of how he is to behave is Christ. Now, guys, you know, you go, I mean, that's another one. You got to be kidding me. You know, I could pick four or five other people. I said, I'm doing better than they are. But Jesus, you just can't get there from here. You know, and it's like, okay, this is like a constant, you know, work in process. Now, what I want to say here, this is biblical male leadership. This is it. See, and the world doesn't have a clue. And there's a bunch of the church don't have a clue. I really like this guy. And he went and he did this whole thing. There's another commentary. And his whole point was, ladies, leadership, you know, in the church. And you ladies do anything you want to. You know, I have a problem with that. But as he presented ladies' leadership, I'm thinking, he doesn't understand this verse. He doesn't understand this verse that male leadership is exalting the woman by loving her like Christ loved the church. And then we'll go from there. You see? Now, so as we see this, and this is I'm convinced of, it's absolutely foundational and at the forefront of any discussion on male leadership. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That's where you start. You don't talk about anything else till you get folks there. Because once they get there, things change. And it's on Jesus again. On Jesus again. Now, here's the thing. Here's a note. Over the years of preaching, teaching, and counseling, I mean like 40 years in counseling, I've shared this biblical truth concerning male leadership with believers and unbelievers. I had a marriage counseling. Some of you all been through premarital counseling, marriage counseling class about 10 weeks long. I did one to all unbelievers one time. All unbelievers. And these truths. Went over these truths. And here's my personal experience. I've done it with Christian groups. I've done it with some pastors. My personal experience has been that the women love this truth. They don't have to be saved to love it. They don't have to. So I don't know anything about Jesus, but I'd like for him to behave that way. I mean, the women, they don't have a problem with. And the men generally resist it. The blowback I get back on this teaching is from men. Why do I get blowback from men? Why? Because they got to do it. That's why you get blowback from men. What do you need? Just die to self before the Lord. Well, what's number two? No, die to self. See, and men don't like this. They don't like it, all right? Because why? It's total self-sacrificial, you know. When and I'll share this, and this is, I mean, I think this is kind of humorous. Greg Walker's here, but I'll pick on him anyway. I've done this premarital counseling. Greg has taken it 12 times. 12 times. I mean, I finally told him, I said, I don't want you back. I do not want you back. You know, you ain't getting it. You know, no sin's coming anymore. Now, you ask him, he'll laugh. He'll tell you that he is prohibited to come to this premarital marriage class again. You know, now, but the thing of it is, when these all women, you know, the women, and I was really concerned about how it would go with teaching. They loved it. They were unbelievers. Why do they love it? Because they're women. And they clued in. You know, women clued in just because the way God made women, they clued in. Now, so as we look at this and say, well, this is what God said to do. You know, and again, I'm going to say it just because I ran across it. And when you have men, believing men, resist it, they probably resist it because they recognize what's coming on their shoulders. Now, she's got to do her. She's got to respond. There's a few verses for her. I said, yeah, but in context, they're not here. They're not here, you know. And I really do believe that's a reason men resist it. You know, it's like, what do I need to get into heaven? Be Christ-like. What else? You see, now we know we're forgiven by the blood. And by the way, that's the reason we're forgiven by the blood, because we can't get there from here. Now, so here's the message. We see this message, and you see a dynamic that God is working within family, and he's working within the church. And the church is supposed to be a light to the world. To the world, see. But we are the light. Now, therefore, when we see is men, by the way, ladies, I just want to let you know, this is really hard for you to communicate to the man. Now, time out. Okay, see. But you just have them come see me and I will gladly tell them. Gladly tell them. People that know me a long time, you know, and I mean, you get to know people and they have tiffs in their marriage or something, and they say, let's go see Wallace. The guy goes, no, I don't want to go see Wallace. Why? Because Wallace starts with this verse. You know, and all right, he's all right, done, you know. And I'm not being facetious. That is an actual truth. I've experienced it. Now, so what we have here, we'll accept it, put our arms around it. And say, and I actually did this when I was reading it while Linda and I separated. I said, I don't understand a thing about it. Nothing I'm doing is working. So I'm okay. I'll do it. You know, I didn't do it perfect, right? You got a cave in Kardashian, a lot of other stuff. But I started working on that, and God would continue to teach me. So the purpose is here, you see, is that men, because you see God's hand working it, and he's the teacher, and he's doing something, men should aggressively pursue this truth so they can fulfill God's purpose for them. Men should aggressively pursue this so they can fulfill God's purpose for them. Now, one of the reasons I am a pastor, one of the reasons is because I aggressively pursued this. And God used it to transform me where I could communicate truth. Meaning that I had to realize that I was the problem, you know, and it was a, you know, with a self-sacrificing experience exhibited towards Linda, that the Lord was able to teach me all sorts of things about him and how he worked through the Word and how he worked through the Holy Spirit and all sorts of things. And again, I stumbled and fell along the way. So again, men need to aggressively pursue this truth. And I don't know what the Lord's prompted me. Ladies, he can't hear this from you. He can't. Now, what we have here, the marriage where the man is exhibiting self-sacrificial love is a beautiful picture illustrating the redemptive truth of Christ and his bride, the church. Process that. The marriage where the man is exhibiting self-sacrificial love is a beautiful picture illustrating the redemptive truth of Christ and his bride, the church. Amen. Now look at this verse. Now remember, this is all in context. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. All in context. Look at Ephesians 5:32. This is all in context of the marriage. All in context of husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5:22. This is a profound mystery. You can't understand. It's so deep. This is a profound mystery. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. What does the marriage refer to? Christ and the church. You want to have a good witness? Have a good marriage. What's saying? That is what it's saying. It also helps where you understand nobody likes preaching on this. You know, I mean, especially now, we had a good morning this morning, Linda and I, but just say we had a fuss and fight, like maybe some of y'all might have before church. And I get up here and I gotta say this. You know, it's like, oh man, we were fighting like cats and dogs, and I kind of say, that's a picture of Christ in the church. You know, we're just, you know, just slobbering all over, just blowing snot at our nose. I mean, no, that's just a football analogy, Rich, but too much here. But so you see here, this is a profound mystery. I'm talking about, it refers to Christ and the church. The profound mystery is specifically talking about marriage. It's marriage. That's what he's talking about. That's the mystery. That's the picture. This is a profound mystery. The marriage relationship reflects Christ loving and exalting his church. Verses in Ephesians 25 and 32, they're fundamental truths demonstrating God's purpose concerning male leadership. You never talk about male leadership unless you start with these two verses. Never. Not in a Christian city. Never. If you're talking unbelievers, give it to them. Now they're not going to say, but that's fine. It brings it back to Jesus. You see, these are the two verses. Now, as I say that these verses clearly demonstrate God's purpose, Christ and the church, we also see clearly, and pay attention to this, we also see clearly why Satan is determined to destroy this earthly picture by demeaning men. He's destroyed Christ's witness. How? By destroying male integrity and leadership. He destroys Christ's witness. Now, you can see Satan's interest in this. You can see Satan's interested. He is actively interested in this. Now, destruction of biblical male leadership destroys God's intended picture of Christ and the church. Now, all these little sitcoms and all this stuff and all these things demeaning men, it's demonic. It's absolutely demonic to destroy God's gospel. To destroy the work of Christ. And he starts with the man to impact the family. Amen? It's destructive. No humor in it at all. The unbelieving world has an issue with God who spoke these truths. God created marriage. God said this. Therefore, we got to get God out of the picture. Out of the picture. Unfortunately, the church has adopted elements of this worldview which distorts God's redemptive picture. So the church undercuts male leadership that exalts the woman, and what they're undercutting is the power of the gospel and the ministry of Jesus Christ. The church is doing that. To be more accepting, to be more kind, to be more generous, you know, they destroy the message of Christ. Now again, these two verses really reverse that. These two verses, taken in the context of marriage, Ephesians 5:25 and 5:32, it really deals with this. Now, therefore, we must remember that male leadership, which exalts the woman, is not a social issue, but is an avenue God uses to demonstrate Christ's love for mankind. Destroy the man. Destroy the marriage. And people have a more difficult time understanding Christ's love for mankind. Because his picture is in the marriage. When Jesus comes back, who does he come back for? Church. Her, the church. See, and so Satan's smart, by the way. He really is smart. And so when you get rid of that, okay, I know how to get rid of it. I know how to undo it. I know how to undo it. You attack the man. You want to get rid of the kids? You want to mess them up? You attack the man. You really want to jerk the wife around? You attack the man. You want to strengthen the kids? You strengthen the man. You want to strengthen the wife, you strengthen the man. Now again, we know children and wives are that you're on your own before the Lord Jesus Christ and he'll take care of you. But in this picture, he's telling us how he works in this. So you strengthen the men, you strengthen the church, you strengthen the witness. See, right there, it's the family. It's the family. The whole thing is in the family. Now, So, ladies, y'all want a little bit from you. I mean, I can't leave you totally scot-free on this thing. You know you do have a responsibility. But the God has pretty well unloaded on the guys. I mean, you know, he's got this, and he has nothing to offer. All right. I mean, if he talks back to you, say, I'm going to have you see Wallace. Just tell him that, you know, because I will unload on him, okay? I will. I'm just telling you. And this is the verse I'll start with. This is the verse I'll start with right here. Always have and always will. Now, ladies, okay, we know we're primarily focused on the guys. However, when this truth is, here's a part, let me say first, before I say the least, when this truth is embraced in the family, the teachings embraced in the church, okay? When this truth is embraced, there is a natural, respectful attitude that flows over into all male and female relationships. You see the family, just how it functions. Therefore, it's embedded, and therefore when you interact with a lady, it's embedded. There's an exalting. There's embedded. But the picture came out of the family. Even with a woman towards a man, there's a bit, you know, an honor, okay, deference. Why? Because you see with the picture of the husband and wife. And by the way, ladies, you want to be CEO of Google, hit it. Do it. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the relationships, male-female relationships. So when you do this with the family, you recognize it and you teach it and have that attitude, and so it permeates into the whole teaching of the church. And it's like, and this is not silly, but it's like you will think, like you walk up the door and the lady's there, you'll open it for her. Why? Because of what you understand the husband-wife relationship is and how that permeates the church. So your natural reaction is to be self-sacrificial. You open the door. And if the woman realizes it through the teaching, you know, and being, hey, the guy's doing the best he can, you know, give him some grace, and he helps her, then you'll walk through it. You'll give him honor, and you'll walk through it. He'll be motivated by self-sacrificialness. He'll open it, and you'll be motivated by honoring him for his efforts. You'll walk through it. You see how the whole attitude changes? Whole attitude. It comes out of the church. Attitude. I mean, it's just kind of what we do, who we are. Now, so meditate on that. I'm going to teach my kid to open the door for a lady. Well, open the door for your wife, and he may pick it up. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't hurt to teach him, but he sees it. He sees it. She sees it. She sees it. She goes out with this guy, and these guys, they don't know nothing. Walks in, he goes to the door before, and she's walking behind him, and she said, you know, that creep. I want nothing to do with him. Why? Because she said, there's something wrong with that. Something wrong. See, why? Because that's the people I have. They don't act like that. You see what I'm saying? Meditate on it. It comes out of the family. It comes out of the family. And what we teach. What we teach. You walk in and your boy walks in front of a girl and he just walks in. You say, come here, come here. He says, you want me to knock three knots on your head? Open the door when you go up there. Just like your dad does for me. Oh, all right, you know. You see it? You see what I'm saying? But you understand when the thing where Satan works and what's trying to be destroyed is centered around the family. Well, it's this. Now, it probably is, but centered around the family. Destruction of the family is the destruction of everything. The destruction of the family is destruction of the church, and the destruction of the church is the destruction of civilization. But it's the family. What can I do? The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Have your son open the door for a lady next time he walks through. But now that's where you start. Do you see what I'm saying? Meditate. You start moving with yourself, and you step forward in that on what God tells us. And then God empowers through that. Amen? Now, and in this section, I think it's fascinating too. In this section, the Lord does mention, I finally got back to it, a special role for you ladies. Special. Now, what's fascinating, in this whole section pretty much, God is just hammering the guys. He's just hammering them, you know. I mean, I see every once in a while a lady going, like, yes, you know, yeah, you know. And so, and I think they need it because it's so contrary to how they're made and stuff. And so, and it's such a picture of Christ in the church. And he's hammering on this thing and how important it is. But in that section, he only mentions one thing for the lady to do. One. I mean, just numerically, that's not fair. Yeah, it's just not fair. But if he tells you only one thing, you think you ought to pay attention to it. Right? Your ladies should pay attention. I mean, we all agree the guys are hard-headed and they need a whole, you know, section on them. But you ladies are so sensitive, wise, and good. I'll just mention one thing. This is an absolute truth for you in this situation. You're ready for it. Ephesians 5:33. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Respects him. That's it. That's it. You know, I mean, this doesn't fit. You dummy. That's not respect. It is not. You forgot it again. That's not respect. Not respect. I have to, this is funny. I think it's funny. I went, what was I doing? Oh, I was buying some light bulbs. So I bought some light bulbs for the house. And so Linda told me to get one kind of light bulb. So I thought, well, this is like it. This would be a better light bulb. Well, it wasn't. It was a whole different color. You screw it in, turn the light on, and it's like pink or something. You know, it's like, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I'll go take it back and get the light. I walk in. So I walk in with the light bulb, and these ladies there help. I said, hey, can I change this light bulb? And I said, my wife told me to get this one. I got that, and I thought it was better. I don't know why I'm telling her this. And it just didn't work. So I just need to get a new light bulb. She said, that's okay, darling. You were trying. I wanted to hug her, man. I wanted to hug that woman. I mean, it's like, yes. But what did she do? She showed respect. Now, Linda was nice. This is not anything on Linda. I took full blame and went there. But it was like, I was so impressed with that lady. That's okay, darling. You were trying. Yes, that's right. I was trying. Anyway, but ladies, see, ladies, you want to motivate your husband and see him succeed at this impossible situation? Show him respect. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. We're jumping, you show him respect. Get out of here. He needs to earn it, you know. No, he's got to love you no matter what. Show him some respect no matter what. Like that lady did to me. Oh, honey, you were trying. See, that's my example forever, that lady at Harris Teeter. I mean, it's just amazing to replace the light bulb. See, and even based on this, if you have a husband doing the best he can to self-sacrificially serve you and do what's necessary best for you self-sacrificially, then whatever decisions and things come up, you should tend to defer. You should defer. I mean, if Andrew came in and he told me he's going to Kansas without Abigail, I said, Andrew, no, you can't. I don't care what you think God told you. But on lesser things, you can defer. You see? And why should I defer? He didn't get it right. You defer because you're trying to encourage him as he's making decisions for you that are self-sacrificially, that exalts you, and so it would help sometimes if you defer a little bit. See? Not telling. It's not what I told you. Yeah, fine. And you know why? After you tell him that, he don't want to go the next time either. I'm going to get hell no matter what. You know. You see? But if he motivates him when he does attempts to self-sacrificially live like Christ, which means he's loving you self-sacrificially and trying to do the best he can, don't call him an idiot. He's trying to do the best he can. Can I give him a little encouragement? Thank you, darling. I'll make this work. That's so good. You know, he's motivated. That's the reason it put in it, show him respect. If you do it right, I'll show you some respect. No, that's not what it does. If you behave yourself, I'll love you like Christ. Doesn't work like that. You see? Are y'all with me? So, lady, you got a big verse there. Ladies, you got a big verse there. So you can help things or make things worse. Now, okay. Now, I should skip this, but it's, anyway, this is kind of fun. Another point just make, you know, because we're talking reality here, and you're thinking, and again, that's a goal, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I mean, you can't get there from here, but you're supposed to move that direction, okay? And two, it kind of lets a lady off the hook, and I have to admit that over the years, I have run across, over the years, 40 years ministry, I've run across some truly nasty women. I mean, have you all run across a nasty woman? I mean, there really are a few out there, and I've run across a few. And it's like, and Jesus even acknowledged where the heart is hard, it prohibits God's desired purpose, where there's a hard heart. It's just, I mean, you just try, I mean, it's just not going to work. You can't get there from here. Matthew 19, verse 8 says this. Jesus said, because of the hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I mean, he's saying, it's just, so, I mean, your heart's so hard, it just ain't going to work out. It just, you know, you've got two granite hearts. It's just not going to work out, you know. And are you got one granite heart? Now, granted, absolutely granted, hard hearts are shared equally between men and women. Nobody has got the, you know, nobody has got the corner on hard hearts. They're equally hard-hearted men. There's hard-hearted women. And that's just a fact you have to recognize. But still, before the Lord, it does not take away the biblical responsibility of both the man and woman to be obedient to God the best they can, even in their bad situation. You go before the Lord. Now here, focusing on male leadership is where we are. No matter what the situation, men need to step up to their God-given leadership role and watch God work. You got to do it. You step up to what you know. Now, you heard me share my little testimony, and it was faltering, but that didn't make sense to me. You know, I mean, and again, Linda Tate, she was not being cooperative at all, you know, with all my efforts, you know, at all. But the thing of it was, it's like, well, I don't think she's doing right, but before the Lord, I know what I'm supposed to do. All right, God, if you say so, I'll do it. Don't like it, think you're wrong, but I'll do it. And that's kind of was my attitude. I'm not joking. I think you're wrong. Don't understand, but I'll do it. Not going to be my fault. So I said, less godly. But what it is, the truth in that is, you say, no, I need to step up to what God's called me to do. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And we watch God work. And like, I didn't see how God was working in Linda's heart till 2 years after we got back together, and she shared it in a testimony, because she never told me. I mean, wouldn't that have helped if she would? Well, you just tell me something. I think, hey, you know, got a check. I'm doing good. Nothing, you know. I think I did ask her, you know, and I think her comment was, "Why? Why didn't you tell me? Why?" Okay, I learned. Fine. Okay, now. So here we are, guys. Our motivation, anything the Lord says, our motivation, what? Male leadership that exalts the woman, and we see how important it is that it exalts the women, because love your wife like Christ loved the church. Exalted her. So our motivation, number one, why we would do this, we accept that this is the picture of Christ and the church. I mean, that's a big motivation. It's a picture of Christ in the church. So that impacts our behavior. I had an example, but being of sound mind, I'm going to skip it. All right. Number two, we accept that Christ first loved us, and we were changed by his self-sacrificing love. We understand what Christ did for us. That's a motivation for us to do it for someone else. Because we know that's what he did for us. Number three, we accept that men exhibiting self-sacrificing love is an avenue that God desires to exalt and honor the woman. Ladies, I want to exalt and honor you, so I give you Mr. Perfect. See, I mean, but that's what God means. I mean, that literally is what God means. So it's like coming into a situation, you're telling the guy, are you at a point where you want to love someone self-sacrifice, but that you want to honor them and exalt them before the Lord? See, that should be in the guy's mind. It also should be in the girl's mind. Every time we go someplace, he walks through the door and slams it in my face, and I have to come in and chase him. It's like, yeah, he might have some issues. You know, and just, I don't see any honor. Hey, would you get my coat? Get yourself. Your arm broke? I mean, you go, he got some issues, you know. I mean, there's nothing honoring about that. And I think ladies, girls tend to let boys and stuff dishonor them. But that's kind of the girl's fault. You know, no, you're not talking to me like that. No. Well, that's, no, we're not having it. Don't. See, but that's where you teach some self-respect to your daughters. It's like, you know, early on. Because these things come out. These things come out. By the way, I add this. Free of charge. Here we go. We'll get together. Well, we'll get to married, and, you know, and these things will work out. Ain't happening. You get married, they get worse. They get worse. They don't get better. They get worse. See? So just pay attention. Hey, you know, you might have forgotten. If I went to the door, you just walked, left me there, and, you know, it would be really nice if you opened the door. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't realize that. Hey, that's the point. I said, listen, you got two arms. You can open the door yourself. Okay? Both of those comments are extremely helpful. But you see what I'm saying? But again, the whole point, what's the motivation? We're talking about Christ and the church. It's not a social issue. This is Christ and the church. Christ and the church. And we move in that direction. And don't be disappointed if you things fall short or you miss it. You grow in it. Remember, I caved in the whole dash of my car. I didn't know I was that strong. That whole thing just went down to the console. Cracked that thing, you know. And you always have those things as a memory of your failure. That's like that. Especially when the kids get in. It's, Dad, what happened to your car? I said, nothing. It just... All right, so let's close out. Our legacy, number 7, heaven overhead, our legacy. Male leadership exalts the woman and is a picture of Christ in the church. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 John 4, 19. We love because he first loved us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for who you are. Lord, you continue to be our teacher. Lord, and we thank you for the depth of what you teach us here. It's incomprehensible unless you would show us. And Lord, even as you show us and we recognize it as incomprehensible, we look to you to give us strength to live it out. But you show us a way to correct things, way to heal things, way to move forward. And we thank you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.